Good morning. I hope this has been a wonderful week for you and for your families as we celebrate the many blessings of God, some of which come in the form of the country we are privileged to live in. We have been following St. Mark's Gospel and its theme of the first half of it, Who is Jesus? Which is going to find its apex, of course, in the profession of Peter. We've seen him calm the storms, heal the sick, raise the dead, which has all told us of his divinity. Now we look at a different aspect of who is this Jesus, and that is as a prophet. He comes as a prophet. As a prophet, he was not well received, as our gospel today would testify. They loved what he did, but not so much the words that he spoke. Kind of funny, they were looking for and praying for a Messiah, and yet they find a pretty easy reason to reject him, or at least not to listen to what he has to say. Who would think that Paul would be our model for humility as one who is open to listening to Jesus' call? Prophets were rejected today, we hear, because he's too familiar, but more often it was because of their message. Because prophet always calls us to change, right? And we don't change very gracefully. In fact, we are always resistive to change, as were the people in the time of Jesus. So, believing in his divinity, do we listen to him? Would be one of the questions that we would have in response to our readings today. What about when what he says is challenging to us? Perhaps different from the way we think now, from our common sense, from the values perhaps of our culture, of our nation. How might we offer excuses, as did those in Nazareth, for not listening to him? We always call this cafeteria Catholics, don't we? And we point at others, not at ourselves, but it's worth pondering. If we are picking and choosing words that give us comfort or that affirm a path we've already chosen to follow. As a prophet, he fared like many others. He was questioned, he was rejected, and yes, he was killed because he was a prophet. So we have to look at prophecy. What does it mean to be a prophet? And this gets important in terms of what to listen for and the role of our relationship with Jesus. But also, you may recall, you probably don't remember, but you recall that when you were baptized priest, prophet, and king. So this has something to do with how we follow him as well and how we fulfill our baptismal call. You already know, I'm sure, that biblical prophecy is not predicting the future. We are not called to be fortune tellers or seers. Prophecy is not a license to criticize everybody around us. And that's too bad, because we're all pretty good at that. Prophecy is not freedom to critique or judge or criticize others, to boast that we're better than they and that they should know our way and follow what we say. I mean, if you're a prophet and you start off with the sentence, you should, you'd be better to follow the advice of Elijah and go and run and hide in a cave. You should is not a way to convince anybody to do anything. What is prophecy then? We know what it's not. What is it? Prophecy calls the other to be better. Prophecy calls the other to be better. It focuses more on possibilities than on mistakes. And here, as always, Jesus is our model. We've listened to Christ, teaching us how to be blessed, how to be happy, and how to love. And if we are listening to him, we know those values to embrace and then proclaim with our lives. Which means before I can really be a prophet, I have to start being a prophet to me. I must listen and speak to myself. Because the witness of my life, not only gives credibility to the words I might speak, but also is the most important teaching and preaching and prophesying that I will do. Now, following the words of a prophetic Christ is both turning away from and turning towards. We turn away from practices or beliefs or habits that consume us or threaten us or reduce us or perhaps just distract us. We turn towards a reorientation to the world of love and joy and service. So perhaps listening to the prophet is a matter of turning away from spaces in social media that have become toxic to us and turning towards actions of caring towards someone else. We are all called to be prophets, again, in baptism. Are we? Perhaps we've experienced others being resistive to our wisdom. That in itself does not mean we are speaking his words. Is our message of God? Or does it flow from our own judgments, our own prejudices, and our own needs? I mean, there are many today who claim to be prophets, and this was true in the time of Christ as well. They had a thing called the guild prophets. You may have heard of them. Prophets for pay. They were hired by the king. Their job was to say what pleases the king. Don't listen to them. Today we have their equivalent, I would suggest, advertisers, influencers, and salespersons. They're working for pay. They want you to believe what they have to say is important. Don't listen to them, or at least don't be fooled. And we also have those, of course, who are simply in the business of being a prophet because they want power and they want to tell you where to go and what to do. Maybe we think, oh, being a prophet, I can't do that. Yes, you can. In fact, you must. You've been called by God to be a prophet. He sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He sent you to bring glad tidings to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. His grace is sufficient for you. As he told Paul, power is made perfect in weakness. So my weaknesses and my sins, not excuses. Paul actually found it kept him humble, which increased his credibility. Will we succeed as prophets? Well, the Spirit made no secret in telling and sending Ezekiel about his chances of success. He described his intended audience as rebels and hard of heart. The only thing that seemed important to God was that Ezekiel be faithful in speaking his words to the people, no matter what the outcome. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place, among his own kin and in his own house," which is pretty much exactly where we're called to be prophets, right? And to whom we're supposed to speak. So the gospel concludes, he was not able to perform any mighty deeds there apart from curing a few sick people by laying hands on them. He was amazed by their lack of faith. Other than healing a few, perhaps a few is sufficient. Touching one life is worthy of a lifetime of prophesying, helping one soul from going down the wrong path, even if it's just our own.